today we will discuss the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which is entitled as Daiva Asura Sampada Vibhava Yoga, the Divine and Demoniac Natures. I am taking sections of the Gita in different voices and yogas. So, the 16th chapter, first three verses describe the divine nature. Subsequent verses describe the demoniac nature, and towards the end, Lord Krishna describes how one can become free from the demoniac nature. So, we'll try to discuss verses 10 to 15 today. So, those of you who have the Gita, so how we will do it is, we'll recite the verse, then one of you can read the translation, then I'll discuss a little bit on the verse, and then we'll go to the next verse. So, the divine and demoniac nature is a very important chapter in the Bhagavad Gita because it offers things in terms of black and white. See, although reality is not black and white, nobody is completely pure, very, very few people, and very few are completely evil. But when we understand clearly, this is evil and this is good, this is noble and this is bad, then based on that, we can understand where we stand. And that's why this clear-cut differentiation is important. And in general, all of us have some divine qualities, some demoniac qualities. So, many people have the idea that a demon is somebody with horns coming out of his head and teeth coming out of his mouth. Well, yes, there are creatures like that also. But demoniac qualities is not their monopoly. they don't have sole rights over demoniac qualities. Like demoniac qualities are spread all over the creation. In fact, sometimes even those with divine qualities get influenced by demoniac qualities. And that's what we see with Indra and Dhritarashtra of the past time. Or that's why we see with sometimes with even great souls. They get affected. So, let's start with 16.10. Now this section, before this, in the earlier three verses, Lord Krishna described the worldview of the demoniac people and how that worldview leads to self-destruction. Prabhavanti ugra karmana shayaya jagato hitaha. That was the 16.9. What is 16.10? Chintan. What is that? Kama mashritya? Kama. I'll decide this. We'll decide it together. Kama mashritya dushpuram. Kama mashritya dushpuram. Dhanaman madanvitaha.
Dhanaman madanvitaha.
Mohad gruhitva asad grahan.
Mohad gruhitva asad grahan.
Pravartante shuchivrataha.
Pravartante shuchivrataha.
Translation.
Taking shelter of insatiable lust and absorbed in the conceit of pride and false prestige, the demoniac, thus illusions, are always sought to unclean birth, attracted by the impermanent.
So, this is a verse which is like a sutra. It describes in summary demoniac existence. In fact, the future verses will be basically expanding on this verse. So, actually the soul is meant to take shelter of Narayan, Krishna ashram. But these souls take shelter of Ashrayago? Kamam ashritya. They take shelter of Kama. See, this word shelter is very often used by our acharyas. It is a very significant word. The shelter refers not to a physical shelter, like for us our home is a physical shelter. But whenever we are troubled, whenever we are dissatisfied, whenever we are irritated, to get relief from that, we do certain activities. That is the shelter. For example, if a person who is an addict of smoking, whenever he gets some stress, how does he get relief? Or somebody may take shelter of alcohol. At a lesser level, many people take shelter of television. So, this is the ashraya. When Krishna is talking about ashraya, it refers to where we seek relief and solace when we are
troubled by the inevitable miseries of materialists. So these people take shelter of kamam ashvitya. And kam is something which is present in everyone. And it cannot be denied, it cannot be repressed, it cannot be rejected. But the characteristic of kam in the demoniac people is, it is dushpuram. Dushpuram, puram is complete. Dushpuram means which can never be complete, which can never be satisfied. So they take shelter of insatiable lust. The Vedic culture has four purusharthas: dharma, artha, kama and moksha. So that's why there is a Kama Sutra also in the Vedic literature. But in the start of the Kama Sutra itself, Vatsyayanmuni says that kama is not the goal of life. It is only one of the purusharthas and it is a transition step to go ahead. So kama is not denied, but kama has to be fulfilled in a regulated way. Now, kama by nature is insatiable. The same word, dushpuram, is used by Krishna in the third chapter when he is talking about lust. Avritam jnanametena jnanino nityavairana kama rupena kaunteya dushpurena anayacha. So, 3.39 it is said, dushpurena. So, dushpuram, same word he is using over here. So, kama by nature is dushpuram. It can never be satisfied. But an intelligent person, not just an intelligent person, even a basic civilized person, he does not indulge in lust in an insatiable way. Every human society has every civilized society has a form of regulation through marriage. But the demoniac people are dushpuram, they don't care. And example of this is Ravana. Now Ravana had a very chaste and beautiful wife, Mandodari. And he was not the only wife, he had many other wives also. But in spite of that, he went around the universe ravaging beautiful women and attracting their curses, which eventually causes his crusade, destruction. So, kamam ashritya dushpuram. They take shelter of lust. And lust doesn't come alone. Dambamana madanvitaha. When there is lust, when lust creates the enjoying mentality makes one feel that I am very great. That leads to dambha. So, dambha mana madanvitaha. Mada refers to intoxication. So, the person becomes madanvitaha, intoxicated by arrogance, conceit. So, dambho darpo abhimanasya. Lord Krishna, few verses earlier, in 16.4, describes the qualities of demoniac people in summary in one verse. So, there also it is. Dambha. Now, actually, in the 13th chapter, when Lord Krishna is talking about the 20 characteristics of knowledge, there he describes amanitvam adambhitvam. And here you see exactly how dambha garpa. What is it? Dambha mana madanvitaha. So, what actually Krishna says the quality of knowledge? Adambhitvam ananitvam. So, exactly the opposite there. What is it? Dambha mana madanvitaha. So, there, describe what is the difference between dambha and man. Dambha means we are proud of what we don't have, and man means we are proud of what we have. Actually, both are illusions, and the first is a greater illusion. Isn't it? Dambha means we are proud of what we don't have. Yeah, like some person, you know, is working as a fuse in IBM, and he says, "Where are you working? I'm working in IBM." That is working as a fuse, but he will not tell that. I am working in a very big company, IBM. So, dambha means to be proud of what we don't have. And man means we have something to be proud of that. Even that is undesirable. Because, as Srila Prabhupada says, whatever we have is borrowed things. All our qualities come from Krishna. Paurusham Rishu. In the 7th chapter, Krishna says, Paurusha. Whatever quality a human being has, that actually is a manifestation of his glory. So, dambha mana matanvitaha. So, based on what they have, and based on what they imagine that they have, they are very proud, they are intoxicated by this. And generally speaking, when we achieve something in life, all of us will get surrounded by a small or great number of people who will flatter us so that they can achieve what they want. And these flatterers, they make us greater than what we are. And that's why in spiritual life, you know, if we take the glorifications of others too seriously, and people glorify us, then glorify us bigger than what we are. But then if we have some difficulties, the same people will criticize us worse than what we are. That's how material existence works. That's how devotee doesn't take this very seriously. Yes, if somebody glorifies, if there is, we see glorification as the appreciation of our spiritual master. The spiritual master's mercy, we have given some abilities, and we use them in Krishna's service. But the nature of a materialistic person is, he becomes very intoxicated by whatever he has. So, dambamanamadanvitaha, mohad. So you may wonder, why, you know, I have these qualities. Some people start to say that, you know, I look so good, why should I not be proud? People are attracted to me because I look so good, I dance so nicely, I sing so sweetly. So, mohad grugitva asadraha. Mohad, because of illusion, grihitva, you are accepting asat grahan. What is asat? That which is temporary. That which is temporary, a person is thinking of permanent. Nowadays there is this whole feminist movement which feels that women have been suppressed for so long and a woman's rights should be asserted. Now to some extent, it is true that women have been abused, whether in not just in India, but all over the world. But the solution which they are embracing is worse than the problem. Why? Because the Vedic culture means, you know, as Prabhupada explains, chastity or shyness is the control valve, which keeps women under control, which keeps men under control. Now women may say, yes, we have been given beauty, you know, everybody is attracted to that beauty. Why can't we exhibit that beauty? So, actually, those women who live like this, what happens to them as they grow older? You know, their beauty is very temporary. And the physical beauty goes away. So those people who, based on their bodily looks, get a sense of self-worth and pride, they live very miserable existences when those good looks go away. So this asad grahan is not just after death. It's even before death. So on the other hand, if a woman tries to get her sense of self-worth and self-esteem by being motherly, then she can be motherly throughout her life. But she cannot be a sex symbol throughout her life. So, moha dhrivipa tatgraha. Men also, who think that their sense of virility, their sense of manliness, comes from how many women they can attract and how many women they can exploit and endure. When their own bodily capacity to enjoy gets exhausted, life becomes pointless, life becomes hellish. Moha grhitva asatgrahan. But they accept the temporary as the all in all of life. And what happens by this? Pravartante ashuchi grataha. Prata means vow. Now we take initiation vows. Those are vows to clean our heart. They shuchi vrataha. But these people take ashuchi vrataha. Ashuchi means unclean vows. Unclean vows. How many bottles of liquor can I drink in one day? How many, they have competitions, how many cigarettes can I smoke? So, you know, recently we had this, about a year ago, our temple got the Guinness record for the painting competition. So at that time we were exploring whether we could get Guinness record in other categories also. So I was just getting some mails about what are the categories in which Guinness records are accepted. So one Guinness record was some couple in Thailand or somewhere, they kissed each other together for 47 hours continuously, and that is a record.
So ridiculous. Actually, even from the material point of view, you know, the mouth starts secreting saliva, it starts smelling, and you know, there is no joy, just for the sake of the record. So this is ashuchi vrata.
And then,
so,
but so actually, this thing, and this was headlines in all the papers of various places. So, ashuchi vrata, unclean vows. So, when a person becomes kamam ashrit, see, what happens is our desires determine our actions, and our desires determine our views. So for a person whose desire is to enjoy sense gratification, the greatest sense gratifiers become the views and the actions. So that's why, although because we are trying to cure such desires, so we can see the absurdity of this. But those who are materialistically inclined, not just inclined, who are materialistically motivated and they have sold themselves out to materialistic enjoyment, what happens to them? They think that this is something which is very wonderful. Ashuchi. So, I had gone to what devotee had invited me to his house. So he said, my son is very intelligent. So he was talking, he has a lot of general knowledge. Then I was discussing, I was quite impressed. So then I talked with him, he knew a lot of things, and I told him, which books do you read for general knowledge? Then he showed me the books. So then I saw this book, and this is the general knowledge book, the back cover. So this boy was something like 5th or 6th standard. And what was general knowledge that he was learning? You know, who was the man who slept with maximum women in the history of the world? Who was the woman who slept with maximum? This 5th standard boy. And this is general knowledge.
This is not even general ignorance.
So,
Kanyura is so degraded, and this book was by quite a respected academic publisher, and they had put this fact not in the inside book, somewhere on the back cover, to attract you the kind of facts you learn.
So, Ashuchi Vrataha. Actually, in India, many people feel that the Western culture is very free and very nice to enjoy. And they feel that the Indian culture is so restrictive. Man, woman cannot mix, people cannot enjoy. Now what happens is that Indians like the freedom that comes from Western culture. But the freedom brings its consequences. And that they're not aware. For example, you know, a man may like to see a woman who is not dressed very nicely. And he thinks, okay, if a woman dressed in revealing clothes, they think it's enjoyable. But then, if what these people don't think is that if men become attracted to women who are dressed in revealing clothes, then the women who are connected with me will also want to become attractive and will also dress similarly. And the way I am looking at other women, men will be looking at my mother, my daughter, my sister, my wife. And the way I imagine exploiting other women, there will be women men fantasizing about exploiting people connected with me. So we can't have one side of the point. Just like when a person engages in drinking. Drinking brings intoxication, brings a sense of high. But after the high comes the hangover. And the hangover is not seen in the parties. The hangover is in the individual homes, in the bathrooms, in the toilets where they go and vomit, and they have headaches. So what happens is, in the West, spirituality is becoming quite widespread. In fact, recently a prominent publisher in America published a book called American Veda. What is an American Veda? They show in the last 200 years, how Vedic culture has affected America. And so many spiritual teachers have gone, and it's become a part of mainstream Western culture. Now there are Baptist churches where the priests practice yoga. Why? Not because they are interested in spiritual teaching, but as a matter of good health. And there is one denomination of Christian church, when they found this Hare Krishna Kirtan very, very attractive, so they have started their own Kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
So, you know, they are just replaced Krishna with Christ.
But the point is that in the West, spirituality is very attractive and it's quite widespread. So, what has happened in the West is the sensual high came from around 1939, 1940, 1950, 1960s, and Prabhupada when the hippie age was there. So what happened is, after the high comes the hangover. And the West, people can see that. Actually, in the West, situations are chaotic because the family as a unit is crumbling. And when the family as a unit crumbles, then the next generation has huge problems. So, in India, because liberalization, so-called liberalization, started in 1992 with the economic reforms and allowing the Western media, Western industry to come into it. So till now, India is in the high, especially the software, the call centers, where there is quick money available. There is two things which are available, there is quick money and there is lot of sense gratification. Bhoga Aishwarya Prasadana, both of these things are there. So because of this, India is still in the high. But the high is always followed by the hangover. Nobody can drink the liquor and think that I will not get a hangover. So in the West, people have seen the hangover and that's why they are turning towards something. Of course, the nature of alcoholism is that unless a person is determined, he forgets the hangover and remembers only the high and goes for it again and again. So there is materialism also in the West, no doubt about it. But there are some intelligent people, significant number of them, who are seeing through it and are looking for something higher. But India is right now being swamped by materialism and hedonism. And that's why these sort of things are considered ashuchi vrata. They are considered something which is very wonderful. You know, when India, just before the World Cup final, before the semi-final, there was one model who said that if Indian team wins the World Cup, I will reward the Indian team by bearing myself for their pleasure. Ashuchi vrata. It's so disgusting. So, and this became such a hype in the media. So, the idea is that values are completely distorted because people think this becoming a shuchi is something which is very fashionable, something very progressive. And so people take vows in this direction. But in the next verse, Krishna will describe what happens by this. So Krishna will describe the high which comes. You know, okay, people do like this. Yes, we will enjoy. I will enjoy because this gives pleasure. But in the next verse, Krishna describes what are the consequences of this.
Chintam aparimeyam cha
Chintam aparimeyam cha
Pralayantam upashritaha
Pralayantam upashritaha
Kamopabhoga parma
Kamopabhoga parma
Etavaditi nishchitaha
Etavaditi nishchitaha
Asha pachishatair baddhaha
Asha pachishatair baddhaha
Krodha parayanaha
Kama krodha parayanaha
Ihante kama bhogartham
Ihante kama bhogartham
Anyayena artha sanchayan
Anyayena artha sanchayan.
Translation. They believe that to gratify the senses is the prime necessity. Thus, until the end of life, their anxiety is immeasurable, bound by a network of hundreds of thousands of desires, and absorbed in lust and anger, they secure money by illegal means for sense gratification.
So, Prabhupada translates, Kamopabhoga Parama, because sense gratification to be the prime necessity of life. No. These demoniac, at least ordinary people think roti kapda maka is the prime necessity. But these people forget roti kapda maka. What we want is self gratification. You know, in certain European countries are what is called as welfare states. Welfare states means that if some people are not able to get jobs and earn a living, the state provides some allowance by which people can maintain themselves. So their idea is that with this allowance people can have some basic requirements for existence and they can get some education and they can get a job in future. But many of these young people, they use the allowance to take drugs and stone themselves and go high. Why? Because okay, you eat some food, it just gives some relief from the hunger. But drugs give a high. Such people they have Kamopabhoga Parama. Parama. Parama means the supreme necessity of life is sense gratification. And etavati nishchita, they are convinced about this. They are convinced. You know, in fact, as one ascetic thinker who said, the problem with the world is that the wise are doubtful and the foolish are confident. The wise are doubtful. As devotees are practicing Krishna consciousness, they doubt, does Krishna really exist? Does Shanti Hare Krishna really work? Can I really become free from material desire? Is it possible? So the wise are doubtful. And the foolish are confident. If I just go to America, I will become happy. No doubt about it. So, nishchitaha, these people are convinced that this will make me happy. And this conviction actually is the mercy of Maya. So, in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 15th verse, Krishna describes Bhaktaha Smritir Jnanam Apohanam, that he gives knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness. So he gives also the convictions to us based on our desires. So if we find that our faith is not strong, our conviction is not strong, one way is to of course study philosophy and get the doubts answered. But another way is to purify our desires. If we desire faith, Krishna will give us faith. If we are having doubts, it's probably because we have desires to evade surrendering to Krishna, to avoid surrendering to Krishna. And that's why Krishna is giving those doubts. It is from Krishna, everything comes. The faith comes from Krishna, the doubts also come from Krishna. Some of the ETs, the kind of doubts that they come up with are, from the intellectual point of view, brilliant. But they are brilliant and stupid. Why? The intelligence behind the doubts is brilliant. But, Stephen Hawking, he came up with the idea because the universe has a beginning. That's what science has found out. And if the universe has a beginning, it requires a beginner. So, before this finding of science that the universe has a beginning, the scientists were saying that, okay, the universe is in a steady state. And because it does not have a beginning, it is always the way it was and therefore it does not need a creator. But the scientists found the universe has a beginning. So then it was like a big blow for atheism. So what Stephen Hawking came up with the idea? That actually, the universe exists as a space-time continuum, which is like a sphere. So in the sphere, where is the beginning? There is no beginning. And therefore, there is no need for a beginning. So, and he gave a lot of mathematical word jugglery for that. So there was another scientist who is a theist. He said, you know, whatever he has said is excellent from the physics of point of view, but let us be straightforward and recognize imagination for what it is. Imagination. Because, okay, a sphere is spherical, it does not have a point where you can say it is beginning. But when the sphere, physically, the shape does not have a beginning. But the existence of a sphere has a beginning. So, this is a confusing analogy to mislead the people. So, from the space point of view, a sphere does not have a beginning. But from the point of, from the time point of view, even a sphere has a beginning. Legit. So, these doubts, they come up with a brilliant, in the sense that they can very easily delude it. But actually they are stupid. Because they deny the obvious facts. So therefore, according to our desires, Krishna gives us convictions. So why are they so convinced? Etavaritin ishchitaha? Because they are kamam ashita dushu. Because they have the desire to enjoy, so they have the conviction. That yes, this will give me enjoyment. So, if we purify ourselves by chanting Hare Krishna and leading a regulated life, the purification automatically will bring conviction. You know, in the Bhagavad Gita 14th chapter, Lord Krishna describes Sattva Sanjayate Jnanam. His knowledge comes by Sattva Guna. He does not say Abhyasa Sanjayate Jnanam. It's not that study knowledge comes. Study is important, but study is only one part of spiritual knowledge. Because spiritual knowledge is not just intellectual, it is spiritual. So, in the spiritual aspect, there is the intellect and there is also the lifestyle, there is the culture. So, to the extent we regulate our lives, to the extent we will find that we will get the conviction also. Otherwise, there are academic scholars who study scripture far more scrutinizingly than what devotees do. But they don't have any conviction. Why? Because the desire is not to serve Krishna. So they have study, but their desires are to defy Krishna, to prove how Krishna is mythological, to how Krishna is immoral. And then That's what the conviction Krishna means. So,
chintam aparimeyam
ja. So when a person has a desire for sense gratification, then what is the immediate result?
Chinta,
anxiety. Why? It's very obvious. Because when we want sense gratification, the sense objects are external to us and are not in our control. And when we want to enjoy sense gratification, we want to possess and control the sense objects. And because we can't, it leads to chinta. And what level of chinta? Aparimeyam, immeasurable. That which cannot end. And it goes on till pralayanta. Where pralaya means death, but it's not, Krishna doesn't use the word mrityu or kaal, antakaal, it is pralaya. Because for a materialistic person, death is like the end of the universe, you know, it's like pralaya, the devastation. If it's a whole, if I die, the whole world will come crashing down. That's what it means. Pralayanta upashtaha. So, and we see, this is the prominent symptom of Western civilization. Wherever the Western civilization has spread, the prominent symptom is not just cell phones or computers or fast cars or internet connections. The prominent symptom of Western civilization is stress. Wherever the Western civilization comes, stress comes with it. Because it's a sense where it's a civilization based on sense gratification. Of course, when we talk about Western civilization, again, if you look at the history, the Western civilization also at one time was quite spiritual. So it's not black and white, but the kind of Western civilization that is spreading today all over the world is highly materialistic. So, you know, India, if say Pakistan attacks India, then the whole army will be there to fight, and there is so much patriotism rising up. So when there is a, people will say, no, no, we have to go to the war and save our country. So when there is a political attack and a political takeover, you know, the whole country will rise to protect itself. But Maya is attacking in a more subtle way. It's a cultural attack and a cultural takeover. So India is being taken over by the Western culture. And it is presented in such a way that the enemy is attacking, but rather than fighting, we are dropping our weapons and embracing them. It's like that. Indians are just so foolishly, so naively embracing Western culture. But this culture is actually going to destroy everything that is foundational to India. So, then Krishna describes what happens with this. That first is chinta, but along with that, such people, kama asha pashatair baddha. That such people get bound by hundreds and thousands of desires. So we see that often we think desires lead to happiness. But desires may lead to happiness temporarily, but afterwards they lead to bondage. Why bondage? Because we are forced to enjoy the way we have enjoyed earlier. The desires keep becoming stronger. A pash refers to not just a rope, it refers to a noose. Pash. So, it's a noose which is a drag. And every time we indulge in sense gratification, this noose becomes thicker and tighter. It becomes thicker and tighter. Our freedom becomes lesser and lesser. So, people are bound by hundreds and thousands of desires. Kama krodha parayana. So, the soul should be Narayana parayana, they are kama krodha parayana, isn't it? So, they are surrendered to kama and krodha, to lust and anger. So, kama is the desire to be the enjoyer, desire to be God. And krodha is the frustration. Why can I not be the enjoyer? If I can't be the enjoyer, nobody will be the enjoyer. So, kama manifests as, kama is the manifestation of the mode of passion. I want to be the enjoyer. And that's why we have so much internet, so much technology. People are trying to create a high-tech paradise. Instead of returning to the spiritual paradise, they want to create a technological paradise. Technological paradise. You just press buttons and have the images of the most good-looking women whom you can imagine and fantasize and enjoy. All sorts of people are trying to create a high-tech paradise. That's one side of technology. But the other side is, if my enjoyment is interrupted, then there are nuclear weapons. If I can't be the enjoyer, I will not let anybody else be the enjoyer. I will destroy. Kama krodha parayana. Ihante kama bhogartham. So this krodha parayana, from this kama bhog, what will they do? Anyayen artha sanchayan. by anyaya. Anyaya means injustice, immorality, artha sanchaya. They will try to gain artha. This is the difference. In Vedic culture, also materialism is not denied, but it is regulated. So there, how do they get artha? From dharma they get artha. But materialistic people, godless people, how do they get artha? Anyaya artha sanchaya. And how is anyaya artha sanchaya? Is described in the next verse. Next three verses are one set. We will just discuss them briefly. So, anyaye artha sanchaya. How they get? Artha they get by? Sanchaya means to collect. So how do they collect it? It is described in these next verses. How does it start?
Idam adhyamaya labdham imam prapse manoratham idam asti idam apine bhavishyati punardhanam.
So idam adhyam, this much wealth I have got, maya labdham, imam prapse, this much I will get, manoratham, bye-bye. I'll sit on the chariot of my mind and the plan, I'll get this much money. Actually, the stock market, the gambling, it's all about earning money. People get into such fantasies. The kind of money that is involved in gambling is astronomical. Crores and crores of rupees are involved in it. And people just keep saying, I'll get this much. And what happens? Naturally, when we want to earn money, there is competition. The competition is literally cutthroat. So Krishna is telling us, Asau maya hata shatru,
hanishe cha paranapi.
So asau maya, this enemy I have killed, and the next enemy I will kill in the future. So
it's so gross, you know. When I first read this verse, I was thinking it is describing Dawud Abraham or somebody like that. You know, sometimes in Hindi movies. You see somebody who's a don, so
I'll kill this person, then I'll kill that person. So practically this is a discussion that they would have mentality.
So
from the practical point of view, I found that this chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is the most easy to relate with our society. Okay, we'll say you are not the body, you are the soul, Nainam Chindam Chastran. Okay, it's a little abstract.
Are you the body, are you the soul? We don't understand it so easily. But you can practically see this particular chapter.
And I think it will take a little time for us to discuss this. But Krishna concludes this section by saying that actually if one wants to be saved from demoniac nature, the way is, last verse of the chapter, Smart Shastram Pramanate. That one has to take shelter of scripture. And by scripture, know what is to be done and what is not to be done. Karya karya vyavastha. Now, this is to be done, this is not to be done. And gyatva shastra vidhanopam karma kartu iharasi. So, iharasi. Oh Arjuna, you are an intelligent person. You deserve to work according to scripture. Now, what does scripture do? Scripture knows that. Now, all of us have a lower side and a higher side. But scripture gives us a pathway by which the lower side can be regulated and eliminated. And the higher side can be, no lower side can be nourished and it can be developed. So one of the most practical ways of doing this is chanting Hare Krishna. Because the holy name is described in Kulashekhar Maharaj's Mukundamala Sutra, Shatru Chedaika Mantram. Shatru Chedaika, you know, all the enemies of us, anger, greed, it destroys them. And once it destroys them, what happens? Munimano vritti pravutya ushadham. It not only destroys the enemy, vyamoha prashama ushadham, munimano vritti pravutya ushadham. It destroys the illusion and then it nourishes the contemplative, the thoughtful, the intellectual side by which we can learn the higher truths of life. So, the scripture is like a mirror. The mirror we can take on ourselves, the mirror we can take on society. And then we see, okay, this is what society is. But if the scripture were only giving us that, then it would just be a half way. Because the doctor just gives the diagnosis and doesn't tell any prescription. This is wrong? Okay, you have got diabetes. No? Go home. And what? Die.
Scripture doesn't do that.
Scripture tells us. There is a solution. So why does scripture tell us these things? To help us realize how grave the problem is. The doctor sometimes may describe the disease in great detail so that the patient takes the treatment seriously. And the most important part of the doctor's discussion is the prescription. Krishna will tell the Shastra Pramana is there, and then Manmana Bhav Mad Bhakto Madhyaji Mamas. Always think of me. So, thought of Krishna is like an antiseptic. All these contaminations are there, but they will be driven out, and we can all become pure hearted. And to the extent we become pure hearted, to that extent, we can set an example for others. And although it's a great challenge in Kali Yuga, the way society is going, but you know, people are hollow within. All the people appear very aggressive. Their external aggression is actually an attempt to conceal and deny their internal activities. The materialistic people seem very aggressive because they know that they're empty within, they want to deny that. Now I'm happy, I'm enjoying. That's going to be wonderful. We should not get deluded by their facades. Rather, we should know that this extreme aggression, whatever it is, whatever way it is expressed, whether it is sexual aggressiveness, it is greed, aggressiveness in terms of accumulating wealth, it is aggressiveness in terms of religious fanaticism also, it's all because of internal hollowness and emptiness. And that can be compensated by Krishna consciousness. So, Krishna consciousness is the ultimate solution, and it is the most practical solution. Because Krishna consciousness begins with us. Changing the world is difficult for us, but surely we can try to change ourselves. And we can try to live in a society where everybody is trying to change themselves for the better. And the society has magnetic influence. It can spread very rapidly. And the influence can save many, many people. And you see the example of Srila Prabhupada, how just one person he went, and he has influenced so many people. So Prabhupada's followers also have done that. So we can also, in our own small way, play a part in that, in saving ourselves and saving others. So I'll quickly summarize. We started by talking about how Krishna is describing those who take shelter of lust and engage in lust unlimitedly. They become arrogant and they think that doing sinful activities is a sign of progress. They take vows for that purpose. But the result is they have tremendous anxiety and suffering. The high is always followed by the hangover. And eventually, it leads to criminality. It leads to violence and murder. And the solution is from within. Demoniac nature is controlling people and making them into demons. But we control the demoniac nature from within ourselves, and we set examples for others also to control and conquer their demoniac nature. And that's it. This will actually help make this world as fine as possible so that people can advance the Krishna consciousness and be happy. Any questions? Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Bhaktivedanta ki, Chandra Gaura Premanande.